Hey everyone, in this episode of the Motorcycle Adjacent Podcast, we're going to talk about the 2022 Modern Classics Ride-In event hosted by Martin Moto. We're going to talk about my perceived motovlogger curse. And finally, we're going to talk about a boneheaded move I made today that is sure to cost me several hundred dollars and is the reason why the 2022 Yamaha MT-09 SP is not sitting behind me right now. Hey everyone, welcome to the Motorcycle Adjacent Podcast. I am your host, Walt, from Walt in PA, and this is episode 6. And before we get to the topic that is surely on your mind, and why you're probably dying to know what I did that was so boneheaded that my motorcycle is not sitting behind me, I want to talk about it, but I think we're going to wait just a little bit. We'll save that to the end because it's likely going to be the longest discussion topic of today, and I want to get through some other stuff first, and let's roll into topic number one. So the first topic I have today is one that I kind of jokingly call my motovlogger curse, and it's not specific to motovlogging, but it involves other content creators in the YouTube space. So in this general area, there are a variety of content creators. Just off the top of my head, you've got Moto John down in the Philadelphia region. You've got Goofy Bastard over in the Phoenixville area. You've got Trekkie Moto out more towards Lancaster. Moto Mengi's not too much further to the northwest of me. And the list goes on and on. And all of these people, they are so local that I've had the opportunity to meet and ride with all of them, with the exception of Moto John. I bumped into him at a local event, but I never did actually get a chance to go out and ride with him. Hopefully we can rectify that in the coming months, or at the very least, next riding season. However, when it comes to out-of-towners, I have horrendous luck. And it all starts with the Badgers. Right. I've known the Badgers for a little while now. I've followed their live streams. I actually joined them on a live stream as a guest once. I've watched several of their content creator live streams. I've been a fan of their channel for quite some time. I'm a member of their Facebook communities, several of them. The Pennsylvania specific community, the Bikers and Badgers lifestyle community, support bikers community, like they do a lot for the motorcycle community as a whole. And they're really good people. You know, I've talked to them a handful of times and they've always struck me as genuine and very willing to help people. So when I found out that they were going to be in town, I was really excited. I don't remember if it was early this riding season or maybe late in the season last year, but I was actually out for a ride with Trekkie Moto and Untamed Ride. We were down riding around for a few hours, and we stopped at this little place called Harry's Hot Dogs. Despite the name, none of us ordered hot dogs, and while we were all waiting on our burgers, our Americana food, to arrive, we're all kind of flipping through our phones, catching up on the things that we missed while we were out riding. You know, idle chit-chat going on. And I opened up Instagram. Now, I guess one important thing to know about me is that I try to be as hands-off on my social media accounts as possible. And one thing that I find that annoys me to no end is notifications on this thing, my watch. So at one point in time, I used to get notifications every time someone liked a picture on Instagram. I used to get notifications every time someone liked a comment on Facebook. It seemed like an endless sea of alerts. So out of frustration, I turned all alerts off for all social media platforms. And if I want to see notifications, I physically have to open the app and look to see what's there. So we're sitting at Harry's Hot Dogs. I open up Instagram and I start scrolling. And next thing I know, I see a little pop-up in the upper right-hand corner. I got a new direct message. 9 times out of 10, they're spam. But I opened it up and here it was from Angie, Mama Badger from the Badgers. And she said, "Hey, Walt, we're going to be in town. We're coming to Pennsylvania." They had some business. I don't remember whether it was classic Harley-Davidson or Keystone Harley-Davidson, but they had some business at one dealership, and then the following day they were going to another dealership, and then they were going to do a group ride through a couple of covered bridges, and they were inviting me to come join them. And I was super pumped. It was like, oh, this is awesome. I've talked to Sonny and Angie before. I really want to get out and see them. This is going to be great. And then I looked at the date, and I realized that the group ride that they were going on was happening a few hours from when I was reading the message, and I was a long way from the group ride. So unfortunately, I had to respond and say, you know, I'm sorry, I can't make it. I actually didn't see the message until now. I'm already out with friends, and I'm a very long way from the dealership. I don't think I'm going to be able to make it. Thanks for the invite, but sorry, I wish I could, but I can't. And it really bummed me out. You know, I had a great day. We rode a little bit more with Trekkimoto and Untamed Ride. It was a great time. Food was great at Harry's Hot Dogs. But in the back of my mind, it kind of bugged me that I missed that opportunity to ride with the Badgers, since they came all the way from Florida, and they were here in Pennsylvania, and just a swing and a miss. I missed the opportunity to get out and ride with them. So one missed opportunity, that's not so bad, right? Well, it's bad because it happened again, and it happened again just recently. So back in, I want to say like May or June, I got a message from Angie again. This time she was on Facebook, and she told me that her and Sonny were coming to my area to attend the Lehigh Valley Bike Fest. I think that's what it's called. I'm not 100% certain. But it's this very big biker event. I think it's Harley-Davidson centric. And, you know, there were going to be vendor tents, and it was just going to be this big thing with live music. They were going to be there all day, you know, in a vendor tent, and they were asking if I wanted to come out and see them. And I thought, well, this makes up for the first time. I absolutely, definitely, I'm going to get out and see them this time. You know, how many times is this group of people from Florida going to make it up within an hour and a half, 2 hours ride of me? Like, I got to make it happen. So I make plans. I put it in my calendar. I'm going away this weekend. I'm going to make it happen. I need to. It's important to me. So I make arrangements with my wife. We've got everything covered as far as her work schedule and people taking care of the kids. She's going to be home so she can watch the kids while I go away. Like, it's all worked out. It's going to be a good time. So the event is like right around the end of July. And coincidentally, I turned 40. And if you remember episode, I believe, 2 of the podcast, I showed my age and threw my back out. So when it came time to actually go up and see them, I wasn't able to do it. I wasn't able to ride out there. I wasn't riding at that point in time. In fact, the day of the event, I don't even think I was driving in a car at that point, because I couldn't be in one position for too long without having pain. So it was another opportunity where I had to reach out to Angie and say, you know, sorry, I can't do it. And it was a genuine excuse. Like, genuinely, I want to be there, but I can't be there. But in the back of my mind, I wonder, like, you know, how many times do you have to invite someone out to do something and get turned down before you finally say, well, you know, what's the point of even reaching out? They're just going to turn me down anyway. You know, so for instance, you know, you want to go out and you want to see this thing. It's an hour from home. So you reach out to your buddy and you say, hey, buddy, you want to go see this thing with me? It's an hour ride. It'll be a good time. And your buddy says, oh, you know, thanks, but, you know, I can't make it because of reasons. Okay. So you go, you do the thing by yourself. And then the next cool thing that comes around, you reach out to your buddy again and you say, hey, let's do this. Let's go check out this other thing. And your buddy says, no, I can't do it. I'm going to pass. You know, like, how many times do you have to reach out to your buddy before you finally say, you know what, chances are he's not going to go anyway, so why even bother inviting him? And in the back of my mind, that's my fear. I've had these two missed opportunities, and I'm just paranoid that they aren't, if for some reason I can't start making these events, even if the reasons I can't make them are legitimate, like how much longer is this going to happen before I just don't get invited anymore? So again, legitimate reasons I didn't go, but I feel really bad. And to make matters even worse, no, I didn't wound up bailing on the Badgers a third time, but I missed another opportunity to meet up with another couple that I really enjoy watching on YouTube. So I've been a fan of Boots and Jeans Riders for a couple of years now. Rich and Cake do amazing things on their channel. I really like their bikecation videos. I really like the motorcycle tips and tricks that they do, where they get out and they show you how to perform different maneuvers on a motorcycle. Rich has a way of explaining things that really simplifies the task, and I really appreciate that about their how-to videos. And they've got traditional moto vlogs, just lots of great stuff. But my favorite is probably the bikecation videos, where they're traveling cross country, meeting different people, seeing different things, just letting you experience some of the things that they're experiencing on the road. I think it's really cool. And you know, I always watch these bikecation videos and I think, like, oh man, it'd be really cool if they ever just kind of made their way here into Pennsylvania sometime. It would be really cool to meet up with them. So a couple of weeks ago, I get a message on Facebook from this guy, Richard. I don't recognize the name, but I open up the Messenger app, and as soon as I see the rest of the name, it's like, this is Rich from Rich and Cake. This is Rich from Boots and Jeans. I open up the message, and here they are currently on a bikecation, and wouldn't you know, they're going to be in Pennsylvania. So Rich reached out, and he said, hey, we're going to be camping in Hershey. Are you anywhere near the Hershey area? Maybe we can get together, you know, meet somewhere in the middle, do something together, go ride through a covered bridge or something. And I thought, well, another great opportunity. I don't want to miss it. Yeah, I'd love to. Shit, I can't. The day that they were free was a day that I had to go into the office to train a new employee that started with the company. Like, there was no way of getting out of this. And where they were staying, Hershey, was about 2 hours west of me. I work about an hour east of where I'm at. So even if I were to leave work right after I was finished with this new employee and raced out to Hershey, you know, by the time I spent 3 hours getting there, like, we would have been looking for covered bridges in the dark. And I don't know how much fun that would have been. So I had to pass. I said, you know, thanks for the invite, but unfortunately I can't make it. However, if you were free tomorrow afternoon, Wednesday, like, I can make time. I'll bail out of work early, you know, whatever it takes to get together, and we'll do something tomorrow afternoon Wednesday afternoon if you're available. So Wednesday rolls around, I get a message back from Rich. He says, you know, sorry, we missed you. We're actually on our way out to Ohio today. We were only in Pennsylvania for a very short period of time. You know, that was our very narrow window. And I felt really bad. You know, it's another, not only was this the third missed opportunity to meet up with out-of-state content creators, it was a third opportunity that I missed meeting up with a larger channel that I have a lot of respect for. And I'm really bummed out that I missed all three of these opportunities. And that's kind of why I'm calling it my moto vlogger or motorcycle content creator curse. And I'm hoping that sooner than later I can break that curse and actually get together with some of these out-of-state riders and, you know, make something of it, because hell, I'd love to meet some of you. So around this time last year, things were kind of in a weird position. We were coming out of the pandemic. People still weren't entirely comfortable with getting out and doing things in large groups. But things were happening. You know, motorcycle events were starting to take place again, and one was happening in the relative area, this Modern Classics Ride-In hosted by Martin Moto. I had never attended it before, but one of the guys in Discord, Pat, had attended it several times years past and said it was a really cool event. You ride out, and basically it's just a party hosted by the dealership, and people bring out their modern bikes or their older vintage classic bikes. You know, your 1970s and 80s Hondas, your, you know, 90s Suzukis, your 80s Yamahas, you know, all of these older bikes that are in running condition. And it's just really cool to walk up and down the street and see all these bikes parked. Now, last year, in addition to the ride-in where people brought in their own bikes to kind of create a mini bike show with, there were several motorcycles on display inside the dealership. There was an early 80s turbo Honda. There was a Yamaha Seika from the early 80s, I believe. And there was probably two or three other bikes there too. Really cool, interesting bikes to see and kind of take in. And I enjoyed myself enough last year that I wanted to do it again this year. So a couple of us from Discord got together. It was me, Pat W, Trekkimoto, Untamed Ride, and Oldsman. Decided we were going to all meet up at Martin Moto last weekend for the 2022 Modern Classics Ride-In. And we all got there around 12, around noon. And when I pulled, they close off the street at either end of the dealership. So when I pulled in, I mean, there was bikes as far as the eye could see. It was really impressive. Easily twice as many people there this year than last year. And I made my way all the way down clear to the other end of the street before I found a parking spot at the end. It was really cool to see so many bikes out. And one of the things that I like about this event so much is that there is a very low barrier of entry. There's a very low friction point. And what I mean by that is, you know, if you go to an event at a Harley dealership, you're primarily seeing Harleys. You know, it's Harley culture, it's Harley bikes, it's everything Harley. But this event, it's such a broad mix of everything. I mean, you see naked bikes, you see sport bikes, you see Harleys, you see big metric cruisers, you see adventure bikes, you see these restored vintage bikes. It's just, and the list goes on and on and on. There's such a wide variety of motorcycles, and the culture is so different that it feels like it's very easy to fit in because it's such a melting pot of different riding styles and brands and makes and models. It's really cool. It's a great event to attend. I have no idea how many people were there, but it was a lot. And I had a great time, really enjoyed myself, or we all enjoyed ourselves. I enjoyed myself. And I'm really looking forward to going back in 2023. This year, I think, was their 20th anniversary. They had live music. They had a swap meet tent set up. I didn't see it while I was there, but they had a 1979 Honda CBX for sale, or a private seller had a 79 Honda CBX for sale. And I saw a photo of it on Facebook afterwards. I would have loved to take a closer look at it. Not that I could afford the 15 grand price tag that was on it, but it's one of those bikes that I really enjoy seeing. And in fact, right near the end of the driveway, someone had parked a 1980 Honda CBX, which was in beautiful condition. And for me, that's the bike that stole the show. It's the bike that I kept looking at. It's the bike that I took pictures of. It's the bike that caught my eye every time I got near it. You know, it's kind of got a special place in my heart. My dad's got I don't remember whether his is a 79 or an 80, but he's got a really cool Honda CBX. And every time I see one out in the wild, I feel like it brings back a little nostalgia. And I like it. It's just, I like those bikes. And I really enjoyed that event. And I'm looking forward to what Martin Moto has to offer in 2023 for their Modern Classics Ride-In. All right, before we get too much further into episode 5 of the Motorcycle Adjacent Podcast, I think I want to touch on featured content for this week. And there's something pretty special that I want to talk about, something I've been enjoying a lot these last couple of days, and that is the Roadside Distractions Tour from the Blue Bike and Doyle and Mr. McStash. So I don't even know how long ago it's been. I've been following the Blue Bike and Doyle and Mr. McStash pretty much from the beginning. When I started getting into moto vlogging and following the various channels, like, they were the two OGs. You know, the two people, two channels that you followed early on, because they've been around for such a long time. And I've been watching both of them for quite some time. And I think I've probably kept up with the Blue Bike and Doyle more so than Mr. McStash, just because there's a bit more interaction there back and forth with Doyle. And Doyle turned me on to this place called RoadsideAmerica.com a while back. And on this website are a list of state-by-state roadside attractions. Weird stuff like, you know, the world's largest yogurt cup, the world's largest shuttlecock, a gargoyle drinking fountain for horses. Like, there's just weird stuff on this website. And I always thought it was really cool to pull up the website, find something local, and then go ride to it. You know, because just it's just these weird roadside attractions. You know, that's how I found the Iron Man statue. That's how I found the lady diver in a cage, which I never did a video on because it was just so weird. The literal fork in the road was something I found from the roadside attractions website. The scrap metal ice cream cone I found there. There is the Founding Fathers in Prayer, which I never did a video on, but Goofy Bastard did. And there are a couple of other roadside attractions that I visited from this particular website. And I've got a soft spot for these weird roadside attractions. I just really like them. And the Blue Bike and Doyle and Mr. McStash made a tour out of it. I don't know how many days they went for. I think I've got 6 days of videos in my watch queue to go through. I've watched the first 4 days. And I've got a couple of more, and then there's a couple of supplemental videos. I think I don't remember what they are, but I don't think they fall like within a specific day. There's a museum tour and there's something else. And I've just been watching them one after another after another. And they're just really, really cool. The first video was a town that was filled with the world's largest X, the world's largest mailbox, the world's largest bird cage, the world's largest pencil, the world's largest barber pole. I mean, it was amazing that so many of these things were tucked away in this one single town. And, you know, you can't help but watch this video and think, like, I gotta see this place at some point in my life. Like, this is amazing. Then the next video, Blue Bike and Doyle and Mr. McStash visited the filming location of Field of Dreams. Like, the field is still there. The house is still there. Everything is kept up. It looks pristine from what I've seen in the video. Again, another awesome roadside attraction that I would have never thought of. I saw the movie as a kid, thought it was a great movie, but I didn't realize that everything was still being preserved and you could go visit it today. It was really cool. Day three, they did the Spam Museum. I'm not a fan of Spam. It was kind of cool seeing them put the worker outfits on and fill the cans of Spam. And I think that's where I left off. I don't remember whether I started on day four yet, but I've got day four, day five, which is the world's largest shuttlecock, and day six to watch yet. So this has been a fantastic series. And again, I think there are a couple other supplemental videos in the mix there. So I've got notes for 6 days of videos. It's probably closer to 8, maybe 10 total videos from that trip. And I thought it was really enjoyable. And if you're not already subscribed to the OGs, the Blue Bike and Doyle and Mr. McStash, I would suggest you do so because they both produce very good content. All right, now it's time for the part of the video that you're probably anticipating the most. And my mood lighting died behind me. The batteries in my little accent lights. So you can't see the missing 2022 Yamaha MT-09 SP sitting behind me. But it's a bit of a story. I didn't drop it. I didn't, like, damage it in that way. But I did damage it to the point where I had to take it to the dealership. So let's start at the beginning. So back in July, I had my bike in for the 4,000-mile service. I was in the dealership. They performed the service. It wasn't crazy money. I want to say it was like $400, maybe $500. I don't remember off the top of my head, but I did get a phone call from the service manager, and he explained to me that, and he stressed this point. He said, you do not need tires right now. However, long before your next service, which should be your state inspection, you are going to need tires. I just want you to be aware of that so that you can start shopping around for them, make a decision, you know, just kind of doing my due diligence. And of course, I thanked him for letting me know. And I said, well, since I've got you on the phone, can you let me know what tires would cost me? I don't want them right now, but, you know, this will at least give me a ballpark on what I'm going to be spending when it's time to replace the tires. I told him that I wanted Michelin Road 6s. Actually, I think I may have told him Michelin Road 5s. So he gave me a price for two tires, two Michelin Road 5s installed at $750. And I had that little heart stutter, the Fred Sanford moment when he told me $750, because immediately I thought, like, at the rate I'm putting miles on this bike, I'm going to be replacing tires twice a season. Well, one full set a season plus probably a second rear tire. So I'm looking at the very least $1,000 a year in tires. And that just seems like a lot of money to put out. So what I want to do is I want to be able to do more of my own maintenance. And tire changes, they seem pretty straightforward. At the very least, I could unmount the tire or the wheel, take the loose wheel over to Martin, have them replace it for me. That's worst case scenario. Best case scenario, I take it over to Steve's, who just purchased a tire machine recently. And I could do it over there for nothing. So that was the plan. I ordered a set of Michelin Road 6s, and I got the 6s for about $50 less than I was quoted at Martin's for the Road 5s. So I was already up. I was already at a savings of $50 at this point. So I ordered the tires. They're sitting here. I realized that I'm getting down to like nothing. Like, these tires need to be changed. My rear tire was practically bald. So I decided today that I was going to pull the tire and start the process. So Steve has been under the weather, and I didn't want to make him feel rushed or, you know, drag him out of bed to change my tires. So I thought, well, I'll just get my MT-09 up on the jack. I'll pull the rear wheel. I'll run it over to Martin. I'll have them change it. It's like $46 a tire. I'll change the rear tire. I'll bring it home. I'll remount it, jack up the front, take the front tire off, take it over in a second trip, another $46. Like, it's $90 I don't want to spend in the end, but it is what it is. You know, I'll just do it for the convenience, because there are a couple of guys going out on a group ride next week, and I really wanted to have the tires changed out before then, because I just couldn't ride the bike anymore with as bare as that rear tire was. So I go on YouTube, I watch a video on tire removal on an MT-09. Seems pretty simple. I pulled up the service manual. Again, seems pretty simple. You take off the two bolts for the brake caliper, you take off the ABS and traction control sensor bolt, you pull the wire, you pull that whole caliper assembly out, you loosen the axle nut, push the axle through, pull the wheel off. Like, that's it. There's not much else you need to do. Once the wheel's off, you pull the sprocket off, you pull some spacers out. Like, nothing is bolted in place. It's all just pressure fitted. And that's it. Like, and then you take the tire, you put it in your car, and you drive it over to Martin Moto, and you spend $46 to have them mount and balance the wheel. So that's exactly what I did. I ran into some trouble initially. So I don't have paddock stands. When I had my Honda CB650F, I bought an ABBA Superbike stand. And when I was using it on that bike, I was like the number one advocate of ABBA Superbike stands. I absolutely loved them for my Honda. It was like having a removable center stand that's set up in like seconds. Really, you took the side of the stand in one hand, the side of the stand in the other, you gave the bike a hug, you joined them at the bottom underneath, tightened the set screw, and you just lifted the bike up like it was on a center stand. It was awesome. It was great for chain maintenance. It was great for checking your tires. I mean, like, this thing was awesome. For the MT-09, awful. Like, the mounting points, which are at the swing arm, it seems like they're about 4 inches lower on the MT-09 than they were on the CB650F. So you practically have to lay the stand over, and you're just like fighting with it to get it in place, and like balancing the bike and moving from one side to the other. It was a disaster. If I had a paddock stand, I definitely would have used that over the ABBA. I'm amazed that they sell adapter kits to use the Superbike stand on this, because it's just not practical. Either that or I'm not using it right. I was a huge advocate for it with the CB650F. I will not be using it again on my MT-09. I'll be buying paddock stands instead. Anyway, so that was kind of the first issue that I ran into. Getting the wheel off was no problem at all. Took it over, they swapped it out, brought it home. I struggled a bit mounting the wheel because basically I had some issues juggling all the parts. So you've got to get the brake caliper in place, and then you're lifting the wheel up from the bottom, and you're trying to fish it through. You're trying to fish the axle through and get all the stuff lined up. And you know, you're, at the same time, you're trying to like look around. And I didn't want to touch the chain adjustment because it was set right. So I'm like pulling the wheel back to get it past the stoppers, and it took a few minutes to get it on. But finally, I get it on. I get everything situated. I didn't quite like the way the caliper was sitting, so I wound up pulling it all back apart again and fiddling with it a little bit. It seated better the second time. I got it all ready. I'm ready to reassemble the parts. I hand tighten the two bolts for the brake caliper. I hand tighten the bolt for the position sensor for the ABS. Get the axle nut hand tight. Then I grab my torque wrench, and I start tightening the brake caliper nut. Now, it's a brand new torque wrench. I bought it this morning at Lowe's at 6 a.m. because this was the project I wanted to get done this weekend. So I set it for like 17 pounds. It's a torque. I should have bought multiple torque wrenches, but instead I tried to buy one, you know, spend the money once and get a wrench that would do it all. In hindsight, it was a really bad idea. So anyway, I've got this long torque wrench on this little 14 millimeter socket, and I've got it set for 17 pounds, and I put it on the nut, and I'm tightening it some more, and I'm thinking, why the hell isn't this thing clicking? Like, this definitely feels more than 17 pounds, but I just bought this torque wrench. It's got to be right. Like, maybe my gut is just wrong. So I'm pulling, still not clicking, and then suddenly the bolt gets loose. And as soon as I felt the bolt get loose, it was like, shit, I know what is wrong. I just stripped this nut. Like, this is going to be a massive problem. So I put the torque wrench aside. I back the nut back out. As I'm backing the nut out, I'm seeing metal shavings come out. Pull the whole thing all apart again and look inside. And sure enough, I stripped the shit out of the caliper. The nut goes through and then threads into the caliper. I didn't strip the nut. I stripped the caliper assembly. And there was like nothing I could do to fix it. And, you know, I'm looking at this thing and it's like, it seems like I have two options here. I can either remount the hole and tap it for a larger size nut, or I'm going to need an entire new caliper assembly, and I don't want to have to mess with the plumbing. Like, I don't want to take the brake lines off. I don't want to have to bleed them. I've never dealt with an ABS system in a bike before. I don't know if there's anything involved with resetting it after you mess with the brake lines. Like, I don't want any part of this. I've waded in. I'm in too deep at this point. So I'm frustrated. I really don't know what to do. I think, you know what? I'm just going to take the bike over to the dealership. I put it all back together. I hand tightened that nut, which wasn't very tight, and I rode the bike over to Martin Motorsports, which probably wasn't the best idea, given that I had a brand new back tire on it, which was like 0 miles, brand new. It was raining, and one of the caliper bolts was probably at 4 pounds, foot pounds tight. You know, I'm just pulling that number out of my head. But I threw the other tire in the back of my wife's van. I was like, follow me over. I'm taking back roads. I'm going as slow as humanly possible. And I'm not going to touch the rear brake the entire ride. So make sure that no one tailgates me. Just stay behind me and just cruise along and manage traffic behind me. So that's what we did. Rode over to the dealership. The guy sees me come through the door, big smile on his face. Oh, it's like deja vu. You're bringing that other tire in for me to change. It's like, yep, bringing that other tire in for you to mountain balance. But while you're at it, I've got a much bigger problem I need you to fix. So he calls the service manager over. I explain the situation. So, you know, I was pulling on the torque wrench, pulling, waiting for the click. Never heard a click. Then the bolt suddenly got loose. He said, oh, you know, it's probably not a huge deal. He said those brake caliper assemblies are made out of super hard metal because they've got to be able to withstand the heat transfer from the brakes. Like, chances are really good that you probably skipped a thread, and we may be able to go back in there, clean that out, and rethread that bolt. All the metal shavings I saw come out of that hole, I thought that was very unlikely, but I thought, well, great. And, you know, if you can do it that easily, then by all means, please do it. So I left. I was home about 45 minutes. I get a phone call, and it's the service tech, or not the service tech, but the service writer. He's like, yeah, I'm here with the service tech. Can you come down to your bike? Like, we got to talk to you. I was like, well, I'm not actually there. I went home. I didn't think you were going to get the bike done by the end of the day. So I left all the stuff there, and then I just went home. He's like, oh, okay. Well, the service tech is saying that this bike is not safe for you to ride home. And you're probably going to need an entire brake caliper assembly. I was like, well, I kind of knew that was coming. So, you know, by all means, you know, like, just fix it. So it's approaching 4 o'clock. He was supposed to give me a call back with a timeline and a cost. It was like 5 minutes before they closed. I called them back to see if I could get some information. They still hadn't gotten a price on the part yet. They were looking at different sources, telling me 7 to 10 days to get the part. Fortunately, replacing the caliper is probably only going to be an hour's labor, so it'll only cost me $110 in that regard. But I was looking at the part on Partzilla. The Partzilla has the part discounted at $183. The original price is like $283. So chances are really good that the dealership's going to charge me the $283 plus whatever their markup is. So I would not be surprised if they tell me the parts on the brake caliper assembly are going to be close to between $330 and $350 for parts, and then another $110 in labor, plus another $100 to mount the front wheel, because I never did bother pulling it off. I just took it right over. At that point, it was like, here's everything, just do it all. Yeah, so my first experience of being my own motorcycle mechanic didn't end well. And I'm kind of kicking myself now, because I should have known better. Like, I know that 17 foot-pounds is not a lot. I know that I was pulling on that torque wrench way harder than 17 pounds. I was probably torquing that thing at over 100 foot-pounds of torque. And I didn't trust myself enough. It was like, I bought this $100 torque wrench, like, it's supposed to click. It knows better than me what 100, you know, what 17 foot-pounds feels like. I got to be wrong, and I just kept pulling. So if I would have just stopped, like, I could have avoided this whole expensive mistake. It's a learning experience. I know what I did wrong. I know what not to do next time. I've got experience in pulling that rear wheel off. I could probably do it again. If I had paddock stands, I could probably do it and get that rear wheel off in 15 minutes or less. It's a really simple process. Putting it back together would probably be another 15 minutes. Like, it is not hard to do. You just make things exponentially harder when you over torque the shit out of a bolt that is not meant to be torqued nearly that much. But live and learn, I guess. This is an expensive life lesson. But I'm still determined. I will be doing my own maintenance in the future. This is a minor little setback. I realize I could have ordered the brake caliper assembly and furthered my education, but I was really hoping to get this stuff together so that I could join the guys like Wednesday, Thursday next week for a midweek group ride, and it doesn't look like that's going to happen now. And now, if this part takes 7 to 10 days to come in, like they're telling me it is, I'm also going to miss the Bucks County Covered Bridge group ride next weekend, which is really, really going to suck. And I was even considering, I was looking on Twisted Road to see if I could rent a bike for not a fortune and attend the ride, because, you know, I really like these guys. And they canceled the first group ride because I had something come up and I couldn't make it. Or I got, it's when I hurt my back. So they canceled the first group ride because I hurt myself and I couldn't be there. And now I get to make this boneheaded mistake and over tighten and strip the caliper bolt. And now here we are again. It looks like I'm not going to make the second ride unless, of course, they find a part supplier that can get them the part quickly. But that seems highly unlikely at this point. So it sucks, but it's turning into a fairly expensive lesson, but it's weird to say this, but I'm very annoyed at myself that it happened, but I feel better for having experienced it. Like, I feel like I know more about my bike now. I know not what not to do, and I know that now I know the consequences of what happens when you do something wrong. I'm upset. But at the same time, like, I feel like a lesson has been learned, and I'm the better for it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of the Motorcycle Adjacent Podcast. Hopefully, this has been a tolerable episode for you. I don't know whether you can hear it or not, but I'm getting over a cold. I'm a little congested. I'm actually sipping on some hot tea in between recordings here, trying to not cough so much and be able to talk. A little hot tip. Inside this coffee cup, not only is hot tea, but instead of sweetener, I use wild turkey American honey, and it's wonderful. Every time I get sick, I reach for the liquor. My wife rolls her eyes at me, but like it seems like that's the go-to. I drink more liquor when I'm sick than at any other point during the year. It's like I just keep adding it to tea. I don't know. So I guess that's from growing up, my great-grandmother used to give us cough syrup that she used to make herself, which was like glycerin and whiskey. And I think those were the only two ingredients in it. So, like, in my mind, like, anytime I don't feel well, like, I just feel like whiskey is part of the solution. You gotta kill those germs with the alcohol. So, just a little side note. Anyway, thank you very much for watching this episode. I realize it hasn't been ideal. My light's burned out. I'm congested. Probably doesn't sound the greatest. It's raining, so you're probably hearing like raindrops pattering off the roof and whatnot. But I enjoyed it. It's a nice episode. I hope you enjoyed it as well. And if you did, do me a huge favor, hit that like button, and don't forget to subscribe. If you're a member of the, or if you're listening to this on your audio device, don't forget that I'm available on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as YouTube. As always, ride safe, and I will catch you in the next one.